So, before we start, so we have Zchus to get together to learn Torah. I think it's very important to note one thing about the whole matzav right now, which is that this is like an unprecedented type of gzeira, if you call it that. I think since we've had in this country to close down, mandated or suggested by the government, close down mikvahs, and schools and yeshivas and shuls, and the ruchnius stick a part of this situation is mechayev us. Obviously, the gashmius stick a part of the situation, the pekuach nefesh of that, and then the ruchnius is also mechayev us a tremendous chizuk that we need to mechazek if we have the opportunity here to get together to learn. We have to mechazik in the learning, mechazik in whatever it is that we can do to show that we appreciate the opportunity that we have that to learn and to do it as best as we can as a tzibur. I was by a shir one time by Reb Chaim Epstein. And Reb Chaim Epstein was a shiva in New York, Bekanoi. And he said, you know, a lot of times, he said, you know, he's talking about people going away for Pesach. And, you know, he was giving a shir in Yiddish. And 1 year, the family couldn't go away for Pesach. So the father is starting to get up on a chair and starting lining the pantry. And, you know, as far as the son is concerned, you know, I thought the way you get ready for Pesach, you pack your suitcase, you get to the hotel early enough that erev Pesach, you can play some golf, play some tennis, you know, that's your hachanas for Pesach. Yeah. So he gets up on the day and he's speaking in Yiddish, like a heavy Yiddish, and he's saying, you know, medaf machen sirs nefesh, of yom tif, of Pesach, hachanas, and then as the, and he says, and the father's getting up there on the chair, and all of a sudden the kid says to the father, and then he switches to English, Daddy, what are you doing up there? You know, like, what's this all about? What are you lining your stick? You know, so for those of us that may be not accustomed to making Pesach, this may be the first year that we're actually getting ready for Pesach, and the kids may not even understand what is it that we're getting ready. What are we doing? Why are you pouring boiling hot water over the kitchen for? What's this all about? So it's not a bad opportunity to take the situation that we have to make the yomtiv ourselves in our own houses to obviously do it properly kalach and also use it as chinuch for the kids. This is how you're making and prepare a yomtiv. Okay, so let's go through a little bit the halachas. So the way that you kasher anything, and it's interesting because all the halachas of kashering year round are brought in Hilchos Pesach, even though obviously it's Negea to Hilchos Basa B'Cholav and it's Negea to a lot of things. But back in those days, the main time a person would kasher was for Pesach because you didn't have four set, you know, you had Fleishik Milchik, you didn't have Pesach Dik silverware, Pesach Dik anything. So you kashered everything. Nowadays we have enough Pesach Dik stuff, but we still need to know the halachas of kasher, and therefore kasher really is Negea to us probably more the rest of the year. From milchiks to fleishiks, well, stuff like that, from treif. But for the kitchen, appliances is and the regular kitchen, that's where kashering comes in. So I'm not going to talk so much about particular kalim, but we'll talk about appliances and the yisoides behind it. So the one yisoide that you have to know for kashering anything is kiboilai kach poltai, that a blia, the way kalim work is, a chazal say, is that they absorb flavor from whatever is cooked in them. So the flavor from the cooked item goes into the keli. And that flavor is going to come out again in the food that's cooked in there once again, a second time. So therefore, in order to ensure that that doesn't happen, you have to clean out the kli, that there should be no flavor, no tam, or anything stuck inside the walls of the kli. The Chazal and from the Psukim in the Chumash tell us that the way that works is kiboy l'kach polta. The same way that the flavor went into the kli, that's how the flavor is going to come out of the kli. So if the flavor went in through hot water, through a cooking process, it will come out through hot water. You cook it out. If it went in through a burning process, through a fire, then you'll have to put a fire in to take it out. If it went in through cold, it could be that you could take it out through cold. Okay, through kibush. So, however, whatever it is that you used, the whatever way that the keli is used, that's the way that the keli has to be kashered. And that technically would go even for the degree it was used. For example, let's say something was cooked in water, but it was cooked in Yatzel Edesboy, which is 120 degree water. Technically, you could kasher it with 120 degree water. Our minhag is you use boiling water. But that's just because we never know exactly what temperature was used. But technically, it's kiboyloi kach poltoi. Also, if it was used, we know from Hilchos Shabbos and other things you may have learned, we know that there's different levels of kalim. There's a kli that's used on the fire, like a pot. And then there's a kli that's used, it's off the fire, it's a kli rishon. And then there's a kli sheni, let's say a bowl. But the bowl, the soup bowl, is a kli sheni. So you also only have to kasher something in this, on the level that it was used. If it was only used as a kli sheni, then it only has to be kashered with kli sheni hot water. It does not have to be kashered on the fire. So this is, as long as you know how the kli was used, then you can kasher it. And as the mechaber even paskins that you go by roiv tashmishai. You go by as the most common use of the kli. So if most of the time the kli is used one way, then that's really the primary way out of kasher. Okay? There's a lot of kashas in that, and you have to understand that yisoid, but that's the yisoid. So let's go one by one, okay? So the first thing is, let's say you have a pot, a chametz dik pot. So how do you kasher a chametz dik pot? It was cooked on the fire with pasta. That's simple enough. You put it into you fill it up with water, turn it on the fire, let it boil. Now it's kashered. Simple enough, right? Fine.
What about the bottom? Let's say the stovetop that's not...
Whoa. You got like six steps ahead. Calm down. That's how you kasher the pot. Now, there's one basic question that anybody can have on that process that we just mentioned. It's a very poshut kasher. Of course, we're talking about that it's fully clean, because if it's not clean, then the chametz stuck on the walls is going to go back in. This is a very simple kasher, which is a problem with the entire concept of kashering. Which is, what happened? You boiled out the flavor. But where'd it go? If you burn it, you burned it. But you didn't burn it. So what did you do with the flavor? The flavor on the side of the pot got boiled out of the pot into the water. Where'd it go? Nowhere. It stays in the water. And now it's going to go back into the pot. So what'd you gain with the whole koshering? The whole koshering didn't do anything. The flavor went out into the pot and came back in. So you didn't gain anything by koshering the pot. This is the basic fundamental kasha. It's a toisis in Avodah Zarah. It's a toisis in Psachim. This is the kasha with kasher. So therefore, you have two eitzes with this. One eitzah is that you have to kasher a kli in water that's 60 times more than the amount of chametz in there. So therefore, when the flavor will come out into the water, the water is 60 times more than the chametz flavor. And therefore, it will be bottle in the water. When it comes out, it will be bottle in the water. That's one mahalach. That works for forks, knives, whatever, but it doesn't work for a pot. Because the pot, Chazal tell us, the water that the pot holds is never 60 times more than the volume of the walls of the pot. So therefore, you can't, if you're having a pot, how do you kasher a pot? It's one thing you want to put a small pot inside a big pot. What about the pot itself, though? So therefore, the only other eitza on that is you have to wait for the pot, for the flavor in the pot to be old. If the flavor in the pot is more than 24 hours old, it's an eina ben yoimai. If the flavor in the pot is more than 24 hours old, so then when it comes out, it will basically be poigim the water, and it's not going to be asr anymore. So the water won't be asr at that point, because the flavor coming out doesn't taste good anymore. So why do you have to kasher it in the first place? Because flavor that went in to a pot as good flavor, Chazal say you have to, it's asr no matter what. Even if it, but now it went out and back in. When it comes back in, then it's coming back into the pot as a pogum. So therefore, it's okay. Okay. So therefore, that's why the minig is that no matter what, you wait before you kasher anything. You have to wait 24 hours before it was used. So this way, the flavor coming out will always be considered nice and tam of gam, and it's not a problem. Okay. Now, so therefore, you kasher the pot. You wait 24 hours. It's a chametz pot. You fill it up with water, and then you kasher the pot. It's good. Now, what's the a secondary problem? There's another problem. The problem is, I don't know if this is what you meant, Michael. What about the lip of the pot? The rim on top. Because the rim on top is not touching the water. The water is touching up to the top of the cup, up to the top, but it's not touching the actual rim of the pot. So on that, Chazal say that the only way to kasher it is you have to take a boiling hot stone, put it into the water. Now the water will overflow, and the boiling water that's touching that stone is going to boil over and spill over the rim. Because if you put it in a cold stone, then it will cool off the water. It's not going to be boiled anymore. It has to be that the temperature of the stone is as hot as the water. So this way, when you put it in, it doesn't cool down the water. The water maintains the same heat it was as before. It's just going to overflow now. What? No, because then that hot water is not clearing from the fire. You need to make sure that you're adding the water that's hot from the pot itself. So the only way to do that is by doing this, or stick a pot into another pot. So if you have a small pot, you could stick the small pot into the big pot, small pot into the big pot. What do you do with the big pot? So either don't kasher big pots for Pesach. Have one pot that you use only for kashering. The Shabura says that the pot that you use for kashering, you don't have to boil over. The pot that you actually use for the kashering, you don't have to boil over. So therefore, you could kasher a pot, take a big pot, kasher it, don't boil it over, spill out the water. Now it's Pesach, take enough to kasher, and then you can kasher all your other smaller pots or forks and knives in that water, okay? As long as it's done that way. Now, let's take the next step. The next step is that's pots. Now, let's take, for example, a sink.
We're going to do some practical suggestions. If you heat up a frying pan, another pot, you can push it in, without using
Right, I'm just saying that's what I'll say. There's other ways to get a practical, practically accomplish the same thing. Take a piece of metal, heat it up, and then put it in. There's other ways to do it. But the point is you have to boil it over with a boiling hot piece of something. Now, let's take, for example, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The next step below a Kli Rishon Mamish is Irui Kli Rishon. You take a pot off the fire and then pour out from that pot. So now the water that's coming out from the pot onto whatever surface it's touching is not Kli Rishon Mamish, because the Chavos Das explains part of Kli Rishon is that not just it's boiling from the fire, it also has in it the heat of the side of the pot. The heat of the pot itself adds to the heat. The second you pour it, it's no longer surrounded by the heat of the pot, so it goes down one level. It's called Iri Kli Rishon. Okay? Iri Kli Rishon makes enough mina for Shabbos, for certain halachas. It's called Iri Kli Rishon. So, here's the thing. Would you be allowed, let's say you have a pot, and you want to take a kettle, boil up the kettle on the fire, and then take the kettle off the fire and pour it into the pot? That won't work, because the pot was cooked with chametz on the fire. Kli Rishon Mamish. You're kashering it with Iri Kli Rishon, even though this kettle was heated up on the fire a minute ago. But you're taking it off the fire and pouring out of the Kli. So now that water is not, when it's kashering, it's not inside walls. It's coming from a Kli Rishon off the fire. So it's called Iri Kli Rishon. Iri Kli Rishon is no longer connected to the fire itself. Since it's not connected to the fire itself, you can't kasher a pot that way. Okay. It would help for forks and knives. Correct. Forks and knives never touch the fire itself. So forks and knives are a spoon or whatever. Shaila is, what about a sink? Okay, let's take a countertop. Okay? So a countertop, theoretically, what's your concern? That maybe you spilled noodles. Let's say the sink is easier. Let's say you spilled, first of all, you washed chametz dishes in the sink all year. Or let's say, you drained noodles. So all the chametz stick water from the noodles poured straight into the sink. Now, all those examples are what? Iri Kli Rishon. The most a sink ever got, Pashup Shat, is Iri Kli Rishon. So since the most a sink ever got was Iri Kli Rishon, so Kipshuta, you should be allowed to do Iri Kli Rishon onto a sink. So all you would have to do to kasher a sink is take a kettle, make sure it's boiling, let it boil, take the kettle and pour it onto the sink, and like this, you kasher the sink. There's two problems with that. One is practical, one is halachic. Okay, but this should have been, and I think a lot of people growing up, this is how we kashered the sinks, whatever. But there's two problems with being relying on Iroi. Number one, I spoke to Rav David Feinstein one time, and he told me this problem, and he holds this is the main problem, is that practically it's very difficult to make sure that the Eruv touches every spot of the sink directly. Why? Because the chashash is that the water, that let's say you poured the noodles, so that chametz water touched a part of the sink directly. Then it rolls from there to the next spot. The rolling is already like a klisheni. The rolling is already one step removed. So the problem is when you take a kettle, you're going to hit one spot. What about the spot next to it? You didn't hit that directly. So let's say the water from the noodles hit that spot directly, and you're only hitting it as like a rebound. You're only hitting it after it rolled from one spot to the other. Now the chametz went into that spot with Eruv Kli Rishon. You're kashering it with Eruv Kli Rishon, which is nizchal, which is flowing from it's one level down. It doesn't work. So the only way to do it is you make sure that the Eruv kashers, it Eruv hits every part of the sink directly, which is very, very difficult to do. But you could do it theoretically. There's another problem, is that if it's not dry, then the Eruv hits cold water before it hits the wall of the sink. So now the water that's there before the Eruv is already cold, and now you're losing your... So you have to make sure you hit two things. You have to make sure you hit every spot directly and that it's dry. So Rav David told me is that that for most people, it's very hard to assume that they'll do it correctly. And therefore, it's not a good idea to suggest to do Eruv. I'm quoting Rav David Feinstein, and he said, if you're giving a shear to Baal Batim, you should not suggest to do Eruv. Okay, so one second. Now that's all on the bottom of the sink. But what about the walls of the sink? The walls are even harder. How are you going to hit every single piece of the wall? You're going to hit from the top. It's going to roll down. Now I know Rav Heinemann holds that anything which is like a radius of like an inch, a circle, that's called directly hitting it. So if you like keep on going every inch, maybe you know there's different ways to do it. But the side of the sink is very difficult. I'm getting the look from David. Yeah. Well, no, that's the Rav Tashmisha of the Blias. Sure, you turn the water.
But I have most of the Blias are from the secondary Eruv Kli Rishon.
To begin with.
Bowl. In other words, most of my sink wasn't hit when I poured the water from the...
You want to use Rav Tashmisha. Okay, we'll see about Rav Tashmisha. If that's a... Okay, so now...
I was just going to say my Rabbi Beck Monroe used to say that... Take an iron.
There's a lot of different eitzas and a lot of rabbanim say different eitzas, and obviously I usually mock them when I say this year. Everyone should follow their rav, and we're just trying to educate everyone to ask the shaila and they should ask their rav exactly what to do. But we want to educate the tzibur, and there's a lot of mesorah, a lot of different ways to do this. And you'll open any two Pesach pamphlets, none will say the same thing. So if you don't know the sugya, you don't know why the people are saying different things. So there's different confusion about it. Let me just get through one more thing. This is on a practical level. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You're not hitting that spot.
It's
nischal, but nischal is not the same as Eruv Mamash. It's one level less.
It's not as high.
That's what Prima Gadim says. Nischal on a cold surface is one level less than the Eruv Mamash.
Even though it's still coming from
there. Yeah. Even if it's connected, but it's not connected to the fire. It's connected only to the pot. That's not enough. By the way, there is a Chazon Ish, and I suggested this to Rabbi Felder in Lakewood one time. He didn't like it. He wasn't sure why he didn't like it. But, I mean, he probably was sure, but he didn't tell me why he didn't like it. But there is a Chazon Ish that says, what Rabbi Shaffron is saying, which is that if you're connected to a fire source, to a source of heat, then you never lose your koach of the Kli Rishon. So even if you hit another surface or you're out of the pot or whatever, everything we're saying, that's only because you picked up the kettle off the fire, and therefore it doesn't have its source of heat anymore. So it's losing its heat. But if you have a source of heat, and then from there, while it's still on the source of heat, the water is flowing out, the Chazon Ish says you never lose your koach of Kli Rishon. He's talking there about Chamei Tveria. He's talking there about the water of the hot springs. So the source of heat is wherever it's coming from, the middle of the earth, whatever. And then the water's coming out, and they used to take that water and extend it into bathtubs, right? So that bathtub could be the Kli Rishon because it's still connected to the source of heat. Because it's going up and this, and even though it's hitting the walls and everything, it's not on the fire, but it's still connected to the fire. Now, by the way, if you're going to go with this Chazon Ish, it's a big chumra for Shabbos. Because what is the Chazon Ish saying? Anytime that you're connected to a fire source, even if you come down to a Kli, you're still a Kli Rishon. So it turns out that let's say you take an urn. An urn is a Kli Rishon, has fire. When you pour from the urn, you're still connected to the fire. So the cup that you're filling up now is still Kli Rishon. So now, even if you separate it from the source now, it didn't become Kli Rishon.
Is that called Eruv by him?
No, according to him, it's called Kli Rishon Mamish, because it's still connected to the fire source. So it could be, according to the Chazon Ish, I was thinking, if you have a plugged-in urn, if you have a plugged-in urn, and you take it over your sink and you open it, so now the water source is still on the fire, and now it's coming straight from the fire, if the urn is on. If it's one of those urns that goes on and off, you have to listen to it being on. If it's on, the fire is on, the water is flowing straight from the fire onto the sink, it could be the whole area is still klirishin. So that was an eitz I was thinking of. Some people use it with a kettle, electric kettle, same thing. So maybe that's better. Okay. Now, lemaisa, there's another reason why not to be soymech on irui, not to rely on irui. The other reason is based on, Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Marivayel, the Negesh Shulchanos. A shulchan like this, or a shulchan like a counter. It's even like a counter. She says a counter never was a klirishin. And most, what happened to a counter was something poured from a klirishin onto the counter. So if you want a counter, if you want a kasher, use iroi, pour on it. So Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Marivayel the following concern. I don't know if you ever, Gabi Hilchos Shabbos, if you ever heard of the concern of Davar Gush. What's the concern of Davar Gush? Yeah, Davar Gush is a solid item. The concern of a solid item is that the solid item never goes down a level when it's moved from a klirishin to a klisheni. Because the whole idea of a klirishin is that, like we were saying, part of what sustains the heat of the klirishon, part of what sustains the heat is the pot itself. But that's only a liquid. But a solid, like a potato, you put it in the oven, you take it out of the oven, it's still just as hot as it was. Who cares if it's in the pot or not? So the pot doesn't add anything to the koach of the heat of the potato. So mamela, you take the potato out of the oven, out of the pot, and put it onto a plate, the marshal holds, that's still called klirishon mamish. It's still called klirishon. That's why there's a whole shaila if you're allowed to put coleslaw on a hot cholent. Because maybe on Shabbos it's like being mevashal, because it's a klirishon still. Even though it went from the cholent pot to the bowl to the spoon to your plate.
Right.
But since there's a hot potato there, it could be still considered klirishon. Mamish has a tshuva about if you have to, you're allowed to put ketchup, you know, onto your chalent. Because maybe it's considered cooking the chalent. He has a whole tshuva on that. Fine, bishlach or bishl, whatever. But the point is that there's a chumrah of davar lach. There's a chumrah of davar gush. That a davar gush, a solid thing maintained. So says the Marivayel, if on your counter, let's say a hot challah, straight out of the oven, you bake the challah and you put it straight on the counter. Now that counter became klirishin. It didn't become klisheni. It got from a klirishin mamish, because that chal is a klirishin, even though it's off the fire. It still maintains the koch of the klirishin. So iroi, pouring, is less than the chala. So how are you going to kasher the counter that got chometz from a chala with just pouring? So on the sink, you drain your noodles. So we discussed, what about the chometz stick of water? Okay, the chometz stick of water is chometz stick of water, but what about if the noodle itself fell onto the sink? Now you have a davar gush of chometz onto your sink. The davar gush of chametz on your sink doesn't come out with iroi, according to the Marivayel. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down the chumrah of the Marivayel not to rely on iroi when there's a concern that maybe the source of the chametz is a davar gush. Clear? So now, according to that, what is the eitzah? So the eitzah is you have to somehow take it up a notch from regular iroi to match the concern of davar gush. Okay? So the way to do, so there's three possible ways how to do that. Again, I'm not saying that iroi does not work me'ikra adin. I'm saying there's two reasons to be concerned why iroi is not enough. Number one is practical, and number two is maybe you're not the chashash of the Marivayel, which is brought by the Mishnah Berurah, the Gabei Shulchanos. So therefore, to kasher a sink, and you want to avoid those two issues, there's three possible eitzas. I'm not suggesting any of them. But I'm just saying all the eitzas. One is basically similar to what we said before with the pot, which is you fill up the water, you fill up the sink with basically, you know, for iri klirishin water, fill up the whole sink. So the whole sink is very, very hot water, but it's iri klirishin. It's not from a klirishin itself. And then you take that boiling stone that we talked about before, that boiling brick, and you put that boiling brick into the water. That will cause the water to heat up and overflow. And now, not only is it overflowing, it becomes klirishin. Because now there's like a fire, the brick is like a fire, and the fire itself is heating up that water in the sink, and now it's like a klirishin itself, and that will help to boil over the water, and then you can do it that way. Now, one brick is not going to heat up a whole sink of water. You're going to need like a lot of bricks, and a lot. It's not so convenient. It's very, you know, it's a messy process.
What about the lip of the sink?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll boil it over.
It's not so
questionable. According to the, another way to do that, which is, again, very dangerous, and I don't recommend it because most people that have tried it have had some sort of incident, including my incident of cracking my counter. My granite cracked when we tried to do this. And a lot of other people, their pipes cracked and everything. So I don't recommend doing it, but we'll throw it out there. Is that there's a commercial grade, like in Mercer. If any of you ever went to like a trip, and you have like, you want to have some oatmeal. So what do? You take like a little immerser coil, plug it in, cup of water, it boils up a cup of water, and now you have water for your, now there's a commercial grade immerser, huge piece of coil. You put it into your sink and it boils up all the water in your sink. So your sink mamish becomes a clarition on the fire. And then your brother has one. He made a gemach for this. And he created one on off Amazon. He bought one and created a whole thing. And we tried it once. You put it in there, it boils up all the water. And now your water is very hot. Now the problem is like not all the sinks can... What happened with us is that it was very hot. So the metal underneath the sink is an undermount sink. And the metal underneath the sink expanded. And the granite cracked. So, but that's the biggest raya, that it's hotter than regular Iroi. Right? So obviously you have a raya from there to Chazal that it's hotter than Iroi, right? The raya, Iroi never cracked anyone's sink, and this does. So, the Baisa, but that was the first and last year that we were allowed in, to do that process. So, the other way to do that is what Chazal call there is another way to do it. Rabbi Shaffrin has shown me is if you heat up the walls of the sink with like a blowtorch. So you heat up the wall of the sink with a blowtorch. You heat up the sink, the wall of the sink itself, and then the water that hits the wall of that sink where it's blowtorched will boil on that spot. So it's like a clearishin again. So you can take a little blowtorch, you heat up the sink, and pour the water on that, and then you're basically kashering the sink as a clearishin.
And you ruin the sink.
And then you get the side too. No, you don't ruin the sink if you do it carefully. If you don't do it carefully, then you can ruin the sink.
Like one of these like dessert little blowtorches?
Right. I mean, now, there's another eitzah. That's what you were saying. And as another eitzah similar to that is the iron. The iron basically also is like you pour water on the sink, and then you take a hot iron, which is a hot metal, plug it in, and then you put it onto the side of the sink, and it boils the water on the side of the sink because it's a hot piece of metal. Essentially the same idea, just that's a practical version of this idea.
If it curves, the question I'm not sure is that when you put the iron down, you're heating the top end of the water. By the time you actually get to the hot, heating up the actual wall of the sink.
You don't need to heat up the wall of the sink in that case because you're heating up the wall with the fire.
The water gets hot and boils off prior to heating up the metal.
Who said that it has to do that? You're putting boiling hot water on a surface. That's Chazal say. It doesn't say anywhere that you have to heat up.
It
says you. No, but that's the halal.
Before it gets hot.
That's the din of Evan Malubin. You're putting on water and
you're putting water across the Evan Malubin.
Right, so here also. The water is boiling from a piece of stone and it's on the counter. What's the problem?
No, I
don't know if that's a taina. I'm not sure that's a taina. I don't think it's so practical, but I'm not sure that's a taina. Now the other way to do that is what Chazal bring down the following Eitzah. The following Eitzah is brought down in like I think four or five places in some Tafta Nalf and Hilchos Kash and Kalim. And the Eitzah is that you take something called an Evan Meluban, again a hot stone, and as you're pouring from the Iroi, as you're pouring it, you pour with that hot stone, and the hot stone makes sure that the water doesn't lose its intensity coming out of the pot. So the whole problem is, so you pour like the hot stone, but not practically speaking, again, the hot stone has to be very hot, and you have to pass it around every spot while you're pouring. It's a little complicated.
Did you use one of those small, not the industrial side, but the Chibo immersion?
Right,
while it's plugged in.
Right, so that's an Evan Lubin. So the point is, while you're pouring, you want to maintain the heat of the pouring as you're going to. Now, the thing is that based on all this, based on all this, it could be that the easiest way and safest way to prepare your sink for Pesach is just use an insert. Go to South Florida, buy yourself an insert, and shalom yisrael. So, now, your wife is going to say she can't wash the dishes in the insert. So you threaten her that you do the commercial immerser and you're going to crack the counter instead, and then she'll go and be masking to the insert. So that's the etzah. That's the most practical etzah. That's what Dov Feinstein told me, to suggest that people just use an insert. Now, even if you're using an insert, you have to do a little bit of iroi. And the reason for that is you should just pour in kasha the sink. The reason for that is because the sink very often on Pesach tends to back up. I don't know why it doesn't do it the rest of the year, but on Pesach it always backs up. So therefore, if the sink backs up, so now you're gonna have water coming in from the hot water coming in from the chametz sink that you never kashered into your insert. Yeah, but on Pesach itself, we don't rely on that bittul and all that stuff. So you want to avoid anything like that on Pesach itself. So therefore, it's better to kasher the sink, and also that little plastic thing that collects all the dirt from the whole year, change that out and all that. Now, Lagabi, the faucet.
But then he really needs to be the bottom, not the sides.
So. Right. As much as you think that we'll be concerned from the thing itself, right. And you also want to make sure that before Pesach, there's no chametz or schmutz in your pipe, because that could also back up into your, what? So pour bleach down, whatever. Just make sure that you're prepared for backups. And again, I'm only talking out of practical ideas. That it never happened on Pesach, but before Pesach happened every year. Now, what about the faucet itself? The faucet itself is eerie, because that is really no concern that maybe chametz gush touched it. So there's no real concern for that. So eerie, couldn't you cover that? So the faucet itself, technically, I don't think you need to do all this Evan Malubin. For the faucet itself, you can kasher, pour out water, kasher. Now, there's a big problem, which is that we've been discussing metal. But there are materials that you cannot kasher, especially not kasher for Pesach. Or Moshe holds that we don't kasher plastic for Pesach. During the year, maybe we could, but we don't kasher plastic for Pesach. Rubber, plastic, and these things. So the problem is that very often, if you have like a faucet that's like a spritz faucet, like a sprayer, The bottom of that sink faucet is plastic. So what's the etzah how to kasher the bottom of that faucet? I don't have one. So if you have a regular faucet and you have like a spigot, or that's what it's called? No.
Aerator,
whatever. So you could buy a new one or you could kasher it. You know, go to Home Depot, take this home, go to Home Depot, get a matching one and kasher and put
it. It has a mesh
above. Some of the meshes are metal, though.
It's metal. You don't kasher. We don't kasher.
Okay, so that's very easy to replace. Anyway, you can replace that. Unscrew it. It's $1.99 Home Depot, and hope that it's not made in China, and you're fine. So then you'll be okay. Now the thing is, though, that if you have the fancy one, the sprayer. So I don't really have a good etzah how to kasher that for Pesach, because the bottom is all plastic. And there's a very big concern that over the year it got bleas of chametz from the steam and from everything around. It's been in the kitchen all year. And therefore, I'm not sure exactly how to other than buying them, but sometimes to buy them is $100 or something like that. It's not so cheap.
What's the level of the bleas that went into there? That's has to be
whatever it is, but we don't kasher Pesach. Yeah, but we don't kasher plastic for Pesach. Period.
The answer is just take a piece of aluminum foil, cover it over.
Yeah, but how are you going to... Well, if you don't use the sink, then we're not discussing... Then, you know... Yeah, in a chrami. If you don't use the sink, then skip the shear, right. But if you're planning on using the sink, then that's a little bit of an issue for that. Now, moving on to counters, if your counter is for mica or plastics, then you don't kasher for Pesach. So since we don't kasher, you cover it, and that's it. But if it is... some sort of stone. So there's a couple concerns with kashering it, but there you could address them. One is it has to be perfectly clean. And if you have a dark countertop, it's very hard to make sure that you have to really make sure it's perfectly clean. Like, touch it, make sure it's perfect. So you gotta clean it very well. And you also have to make sure we don't kasher glass for Pesach either. So sometimes these things are what's the word I'm looking for? Plated?
Glazed.
Glazed with some sort of glass glaze that they pour on, and it comes like a glass glaze on the met on the stone. So even though you could kasher the stone, but lav dafka we kasher the glass glaze. The Star K has a whole thing about that. The lav dafka have to be so machmer on the glass glaze, but there's something to bring up. But basically, stone can be kashered. So as long as it's very clean, theoretically you could kosher it. Again, but you have the same discussion as you had on the sink. To just pour water on it, you don't have the same problem that we had in the sink. You can't touch every spot, because here it's a confined area. You could be neat and do every spot. But you may have the concern that Mishnah Berurah brings of the Mari Vial, that what happens if a Davar Gush fell on the counter? So that's only a Chumrah, so therefore you could rely on Iroy. I'm not saying not. But if you want to be Choshish for that Mari Vial, then you want to do the same thing with the iron or whatever, and make sure that the boiling hot water is being used. Boiling hot water is being used for that, and a lot of people do use the iron, and that boils the water, and that could work. The other thing is that the backsplash of your counter also should be covered or kashered, because a lot of times pots get pushed up against there, or let's say you have your chillin pot up against the counter, in the back of the counter. So that's mamsh chametz bliyah, is going into your backsplash the whole time. So that also should be covered or kashered. The bottom of the cabinet is sometimes very grimy. You don't even realize how grimy in the bottom of your cabinet is. So it should be scrubbed out and cleaned. And, cleaned out very well, because, again, what could happen is that you could have bliyahs from a pot going in there and taking it down on Pesach. So you should clean the bottom of your overhang of the cabinets, even cover it perhaps, if you see that it's dirty, and now cover that. One thing we didn't get to, the ovens and the stovetops and all that, and we have another shiur next week, Imirtze Hashem. Next week we'll be able to cover those things, as well as, just basic, maybe the third week or whatever, as we get closer to basic cleaning and stuff like that. Okay.